An emergency review into livestock exports raises serious questions about conditions for animals on board, accuracy of welfare reports, the experience of crew, and the suitability of ships for the job. The Ministry for Primary Industries put an immediate halt on applications for live animal shipments after the Gulf Livestock One went down in a typhoon in the East China Sea last month, with 43 crew, including two New Zealanders, and nearly 6,000 cattle on board. Now, an independent review of how animal welfare export certificates are issued has recommended several immediate changes, including restricting the number of cattle on board, increasing the amount of stock feed they are required to carry, daily welfare reports from ships, and tougher inspection rules for carriers. Director General of MPI, Ray Smith, explains what we're going to be doing differently.
The change there, Lisa, is we're following very much the Australian standard. They just completed a review and they have reduced the density to 90%. That is the stocking rate density against the capacity for export on those boats. Now, we're going to adopt the same standard here that's just coming into place in Australia. And it's the same, essentially the same ships that are used. So we're going to apply the same here. So that will mean that for each animal, they will get additional space requirements. There are some very specific tables of calculations dependent on the size and weight of animals as to exactly what space they get. So that's an interim first step in order that we can move on exporting these 24,000 animals that have been waiting to go to destination.
Understand, but people listening to this, Ray, you've given us a complicated formula here. What they want to know, really, people who are concerned about animal welfare, is if you have a 400-kilo cattle beast on there, how much room does it have?
Well, probably a way to think about it is on a boat that was, say, exporting 5,000 animals, it would be 500 less. And so that creates quite a bit of additional space for each animal. So for big animals, they may be up to 2 metres of space. It varies dependent on the size and weight of the animal. And those tables have been developed over a long period of time and are used both here and internationally. So this increase, if you like, in space is very significant. And exporters are going to do that because they see that it's an important first step. I think we may need to go further, and the wider review into live exports of animals will look into that.
You mean further in allowing more space for each animal?
Absolutely. I think the space conditions are critical. And as you point out, most of us would think that was the case, and I think that's true. I mean, animals need to have room to lie down. They need to be able to get to feed and to water with reasonable space around them. And so we'll be asking our veterinary scientists to look into that as quickly as we can to see whether more space needs to be provided, noting that a very extensive review has just been undertaken in Australia on this matter.
Given that you're increasing the space and you're saying that you think it should even go further, doesn't that just tell us we've been sending animals to sea in inhumane conditions?
Well, we've been essentially monitoring the mortality rates as being the primary method for understanding the success of these voyages. And I have to say our mortality rates out of New Zealand are incredibly low. They're sort of 0.1%.
But an animal could be on its last legs, Ray. It could get to its end destination and still be alive. That does not necessarily mean the journey has been a pleasant one, does it?
And I think that's where we agree that we should undertake this daily reporting. So the daily reporting is going to give us much more information about what the conditions are on board each day for those animals as they pass over a 16 or 17 day voyage. It's quite a long trip from New Zealand, particularly into China. And so I think that additional information is going to help us understand just how to tailor these animal welfare requirements and make the whole journey a much more comfortable one for animals.
So what will you hear back? Will you know how much they've been fed?
Yes, we'll know what they've been fed. We'll know the weather conditions. We'll know what the temperature conditions are like. We'll know whether animals have been, whether large numbers of animals or not have had to be provided with veterinary assistance or medicines. So there'll be a large amount of information provided that will give us a good indication and much better for planning for the future of the export of these animals.
And if an animal dies on board, are you going to require more specific details? Because I see from this report, often you just get a statement of whether an animal is dead or alive, nothing else.
Absolutely. And one of the requirements we have is that the reports we receive into the future are signed off by the veterinarians or the, and or the head stockman and the master of the ship. And in fact, that's going to be a requirement at the end of each voyage now. So we're seeking a lot more information in order that we can build a much better picture and that we can make sure that this is safer and safer going forward. One of the things, Lisa, that I would like to consider going forward is having independent observers on these boats. We do this, of course, with fishing vessels in New Zealand at the deep sea. It's something that they do in Australia, and it's one area that I think we can look at in the longer term.
So having someone who is not on the ship's payroll reporting to you?
Well, that's what they do in some of the boats that leave Australia, and I'd like to look at that mechanism. So first of all, let's start by increasing reporting and learning more about the system we're currently operating, make the improvements we're talking about. But I think we need to look at the independent observer mechanism as well as a potential future option if we're still uncertain about the welfare of animals.
Because the thing is, even with improved reporting, this review points out that there is no current requirement for stock handlers who go on board to have any kind of minimum training. It might be their first trip. One stock handler per 1,400 animals, I think it said in the report. I mean, how can you possibly get accurate, trustworthy information?
Well, I think the stock handler level is fine, and that would be consistent internationally. I do think the point that's been raised with us that the levels of experience are highly variable on those boats is something that we agree with. That needs to be addressed. I think training programs need to be put in place that give people the opportunity to learn more about being at sea and being a stock handler at sea, and to make sure that when new stock people are brought in, because new people will always have to come in to these type industries, that they're matched up with people that have got a lot more experience. So there's no question the capability of crew, stock handlers, veterinarians is a critical component.
What do you think this is going to do for our reputation?
Well, I think the critical thing here is that we stopped this immediately. I moved immediately to suspend the trade as soon as I heard about this terrible tragedy. We undertook a review with eminently capable people, and we talked to everybody pretty much that had an interest in this area, and we've taken on board their recommendations, and we're going to put them in place, and we're going to put many of them in place immediately. So I would hope that that gives people some confidence, at least in the short run, bearing in mind there's a wider review into live export of animals, that we're taking this matter very seriously.
And that was Ray Smith, the Director General of MPI. Now, the temporary ban on live exports lifts tomorrow. And MPI says there are currently four applications to export about 24,000 animals. And any of those shipments will need to meet the new requirements before being approved. Meanwhile, that wider government review that Ray Smith mentioned there, it started in 2019 and received more than 3,500 submissions. It's an investigation into live animal exports. It has yet to be released. It's been delayed following, COVID-related issues.